Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of antiprotozoals found under the infectious disease section at MedBullets.com. Let's begin with an introduction to antiprotozoals. Specific drugs may include pyrimethamine, sulfadiazine, suramin, milarsoprol, nifurtimox, sodium stibogluconate, metronidazole, amphotericin B, benznidazole, and nitazoxanide. Clinically, they are used to treat protozoa. Now let's discuss these antiprotozoals in more detail. Pyrimethamine acts as a folic acid antagonist, and sulfadiazine is a competitive antagonist with para-aminobenzoic acid. Their adverse effects include gastrointestinal upset, drug rashes, pancytopenia, and folate deficiency, so they should be co-administered with leucovorin. They are used to treat Toxoplasma gondii. Suramin has an unknown mechanism of action, but it inhibits trypanosomal energy metabolism. It may cause gastrointestinal upset, peripheral neuropathy, or renal toxicity. It is used to treat Trypanosoma brucei and blood-borne diseases. Milarsoprol inhibits pyruvate kinase. It may cause brain dysfunction, renal toxicity, and hepatic toxicity. It is used to treat Trypanosoma brucei when there is central nervous system disease. Nifurtimox causes breakdown of DNA via radical metabolite formation. It can cause gastrointestinal upset, headaches, and weight loss. It is used to treat Trypanosoma cruzi. Sodium stibogluconate has an unknown mechanism of action, but it may inhibit the citric acid cycle and glycolysis in the protozoa. It can result in loss of appetite, gastrointestinal upset, myalgias, fatigue, and pancreatitis. It is used to treat Leishmania donovani. Metronidazole causes breakdown of DNA via free radical metabolite formation. It can cause a disulfiram-like reaction with alcohol, headaches, and a metallic taste. It is used to treat Giardia lamblia, Entamoeba histolytica, and Trichomonas vaginalis, but this should be used to treat the partner as well in this setting. Amphotericin B binds to ergosterol and allows leakage of electrolytes from the membrane. It can result in fevers and chills, hypotension, renal toxicity, arrhythmias, anemia, and phlebitis. It is used to treat Leishmania donovani and Naegleria fowleri. Benznidazole causes breakdown of DNA via free radical metabolite formation. It can cause a rash, peripheral neuropathy, myalgias, loss of appetite, and bone marrow suppression. It is used to treat Trypanosoma cruzi. Nitazoxanide disrupts anaerobic energy metabolism. It can cause gastrointestinal upset, a rash, and a fever. It is used to treat Cryptosporidium. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to antiprotozoals, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 39-year-old man presents to his primary care physician because he has been having severe headaches and a fever for the last 2 days. He also says his right eyelid has been painlessly swelling and is starting to block his vision from that eye. He recently returned from a tour of the world where he visited Thailand, Ethiopia, and Brazil. Otherwise, his past medical history is unremarkable. On presentation, his temperature is 102 degrees Fahrenheit, or 38.8 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 126 over 81. Pulse is 125 beats per minute. And respirations are 13 breaths per minute. Physical exam reveals a non-tender swelling of the right eyelid, lymphadenopathy, and an indurated red patch with surrounding erythema and local swelling on his left leg. Which of the following drugs should be used to treat this patient's condition? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, benznidazole. Choice 2, diethylcarbamazine. Choice 3, ivermectin. Choice 4, mebendazole. Or choice 5, sodium stibogluconate. The best answer to this question is choice 1, benznidazole. This patient with fever, headache, eye swelling, and a hard red patch on his leg most likely has Chagas disease, which is caused by Trypanosoma cruzi that can be treated with benznidazole and nifurtimox. Trypanosoma cruzi also known as the American trypanosome, is a protozoa primarily located in South America. It is transmitted through the bite of the redivid bug and causes an indurated red patch with surrounding erythema and local swelling, known as a chagoma, that then develops at the site of the entry. Infected patients then develop Chagas disease, which is characterized by fever, malaise, lymphadenopathy, tachycardia, and EKG changes. A characteristic physical exam finding in this disease is painless unilateral periorbital swelling, known as the Romania sign. It can be treated with benznidazole and nifurtimox. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 2. Diethylcarbamazine is used to treat Loa Loa. However, patients infected with this disease will present with worms in the conjunctiva and painful subcutaneous swelling of the skin. Choice 3. Ivermectin can be used to treat Onchocerca volvulus. However, patients infected with this organism will present with blindness and thickened, hyperpigmented lizard skin. Choice 4. Mebendazole can be used to treat a variety of round worms. However, it does not play a role in the treatment of Chagas disease. Choice 5. Sodium stibogluconate can be used to treat Leishmania donovani. However, patients infected with this organism will present with either cutaneous signs or spiking fevers, hepatosplenomegaly, abdominal swelling, and pancytopenia. Finally, a bullet summary. Chagas disease is caused by Trypanosoma cruzi, which can be treated with benznidazole and nifurtimox. That's all for this review about antiprotozoals. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.